Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
As millions of families around the United States are getting ready for Thanksgiving, keep in mind that many still go hungry in this country. And it's getting worse. In the U.S., there were over 36 million Americans, including 12 million kids, who didn't have enough food in 2007. That's 1 in 8 Americans. 1 in 5 kids in New York City live in what's called a food insecure household. That means more than 400,000 children live in homes where they don't have the food they need. These numbers are up almost 30% from last year. I'm Amy Edding, sitting in for Brian Lehrer, and joining me now to explain how we got here and how we get out of this crisis is Joel Berg, the executive director of the New York City Coalition Against Hunger, which has just released its annual survey. He's also the author of the new book, All You Can Eat, How Hungry Is America. Welcome to WNYC, Joel.
Thanks so much, Amy.
First, let's define the terms. What does a food insecure household mean?
It's a wonkish, horrible term, but it's the best term we've got. What it really describes is that hunger in the U.S. isn't the same as Somalia or North Korea, where you have people in the streets literally starving to death. What food insecurity means is people 1 or 2 setbacks away from starvation. It means people rationing food. It means people choosing between food and rent and food and health care. It means parents going without food so they can make sure their kids have a breakfast. And the greatest irony of all, it often means people who are hungry also becoming obese because they can't afford the most nutritious foods, so they have to buy the least expensive, most filling foods, which often are also the most fattening.
Right. I wanted to get at this right off the bat because what this nexus is between hunger and obesity. Lower-income people are the ones who disproportionately suffer from obesity because cheaper foods, as you mentioned, tend to be the sugary, high-fructose, corn syrup-laden ones that we now know are bad for you. So what is that nexus for you? Wasn't there a recent World Health Organization report saying that there are more obesity is more of a problem globally than starvation?
Well, I wouldn't put it one versus the other. I think they're interconnected. I often say that obesity and hunger are flip sides of the malnutrition coin. There are two issues. There's physical proximity and economic affordability. I'm sitting right now at a food pantry in the South Bronx. We're about to release the Bronx-specific findings of our survey. And in Community District 1 in the Bronx, you can go miles for each side and not find a supermarket where the highest quality most nutritious foods are available. So first, in many low-income neighborhoods, there are food deserts where nutritious food isn't even available. Second, skim milk is more expensive than whole milk. Whole bread is more expensive than white bread, and on and on and on. Low-income people can't afford often to even shop at farmers markets, although we've made a lot of progress with the city in allowing people to use food stamps and so-called health bucks to buy at farmers markets. And where low-income people did have that opportunity, the use of farmers markets, low-income benefits increased tenfold in the last 2 years. So there's a myth that low-income people are just sort of too ignorant or uneducated to know how to buy fresh produce and other good foods. And I think that's just bunk. I think if you make sure the food is physically available in low-income neighborhoods and make it affordable through food stamps or the WIC program or school meals, low-income people darn well know what's good for their families and will get it if they can.
So let's go straight to the findings. I understand the Bronx was the borough that you found the most alarming increase in the number of people who are food insecure. Let's start there, but tell me overall, what did you find citywide?
Well, I think the most startling finding is not that the Bronx has high levels of hunger. We know known for a long time the Bronx is one of the counties in the United States with the highest levels of poverty. I was just in Staten Island yesterday, which has the stereotype of rock-ribbed middle-class families, and there is skyrocketing hunger there. We're going to Queens later today, and that's also seen as a middle-class borough. Great hunger there. Overall, we found there was a 28% increase in people going to soup kitchens and food pantries in 2008. That's on top of a a 20% increase last year. Most alarmingly, while it was horrible last year, 59% of the pantries and kitchens said they didn't have enough food to meet the growing demand. This year, it's 69%, a record number in our survey. More than two-thirds of the soup kitchens and food pantries don't have enough food to meet the growing demand. And frankly, that's one of the main points of my book, that this myth we've created, the charity, is the way to solve this major economic and social problem, just isn't true. We keep giving marginally more help to these charities. At the same time, hunger is skyrocketing, and my argument is we need serious economic policies to create living wage jobs in low-income neighborhoods and then have a serious federal government safety net for whom those jobs don't pay enough to feed their families.
I want to get to some of your proposed solution steps in a moment, but I wanted to go back to this report. How do you come up with these figures? Your report relies on food pantries and soup kitchens to self-report, correct?
That's correct. And we have, out of 1,200 agencies, about 300 reporting. So in statistical terms, that is a very large sample size. Now, I'll be absolutely candid. Every agency has different levels of reporting. They're all required to get government funds or other funds to count. There are various levels of sophistication which they do. Some have excellent records. Some are run by volunteers and are too busy feeding people to have the most precise records in the world. But when you have a sample size as large as ours, as 300 agencies, I think statistically some of those quirks do iron themselves out. And I also come back to the great social scientist Chico Marx, who once said, who are you going to believe, me or your own eyes? And I'm at a food pantry today in the South Bronx. Just about 50 feet here is another food pantry where there's a line around the block. So you can see it with your own eyes.
Right.
The federal government hasn't yet released their numbers for New York City yet, but nationwide, we found in last year there was a large increase, and we knew from previous federal numbers, as of 2006, they characterized 1.3 million New Yorkers, including 400,000 children, as living in food insecure households.
We're taking your calls at 212-433-9692 for Joel Berg, Executive Director of the New York City Coalition Against Hunger. Paul from the East Village, you're on WNYC. Good morning.
Yes, hello. Thank you for taking my call. I thought that it was important to call in because I understand that what you're speaking about with farmers markets taking food stamps, and then on the other end, I think you may be speaking about the larger farmers market. I know that we have one here at Tompkins Square Park that runs on Sundays that does not take food stamps. And
so you're running into difficulty finding.
Oh, yeah, they're just like, oh, no. And it's not huge. It's like, you know, maybe from 7th Street to 10th Street. But, you know, still yet a farmer's market. But what else is important is I live in a congregate housing, which is housing for people with a certain diagnosis. And we have been told that we're no longer going to be getting deliveries from the food bank, which since the building opened in 2001, we haven't had a budget for food, but, you know, it's going to have to go back to bare minimum.
Paul, thank you for your call. I wanted to get Joel's perspective on this. Joel, I think you outlined this in your report, that a lot of the very food banks and soup kitchens that people like Paul are relying upon are finding it harder to keep up with demand because their funding is being slashed.
Absolutely. Funding for food banks, soup kitchens, and food pantries are not entitlements. So if they're discretionary funding, and Governor Patterson, as much as we love what he's done recently on expanding food stamps access, he and the legislature have actually cut funding to pantries and kitchens. That's one of the reasons we're so fervent about promoting food stamps and school meals. Those are entitlements that usage does go up when the economy goes down and people pay for it. I do want to respond to his comments about farmers markets.
Mm-hmm.
He's absolutely right. Too many farmers markets in New York City do not receive food stamps. But I'll put in perspective, a bunch of years ago, just a handful of years ago, very few did. And we've made a lot of progress in the city. I give a lot of credit to the mayor's office and to Council Speaker Christine Quinn and to the green markets for really ramping that up. But all
should
of us
there, should there be more lobbying to get more of these green markets involved in the program?
We, I think think we all agree it's got to get done. We just need the money to do it. So I'm hopeful that Congress will be providing money. We're actually being joined later today by Senator Schumer, who's going to talk about the need for hunger funding in the new economic recovery package. So this is one thing certainly the federal government could help with, because farmers markets do need a little funding to get the technology to be able to accept these electronic benefits.
You wrote an op-ed in the Washington Post in September where you said that federal priorities seem to be all wrong. As the federal government comes up with billions of dollars to bail out banks, you point out they haven't increased FEMA's emergency food and shelter program in 6 years. That's the only federal program that provides cash to emergency food programs and to homelessness prevention. On a federal level, why do you think this issue isn't a priority?
Well, I'm happy to report that just days after that op-ed was published, Congress did marginally increase that program. But I must quote Bob Dole, the great conservative Republican senator from Kansas who actually did a lot on hunger. He said, "We haven't solved this problem yet because poor people don't have a political action committee." That's really all about political power. I tend to agree that it would be unacceptable for our society, that the outcomes would be just too grave if Wall Street entirely collapsed. My point in my op-ed is that we should consider it equally unacceptable that we have 36.2 million Americans, including 12 million children, in homes that can't afford enough food. There was a study from Harvard that shows that food insecurity and hunger in America costs our economy $90 billion a year, billion with a B, in lost educational performance, lost worker productivity, increased health care spending. I've calculated in my book we could end hunger entirely for about $24 billion, or about 2% of the Wall Street bailout. So if we can end hunger for $24 billion and it costs our society $90 billion a year, my argument, that's a pretty smart economic...
Joel, get in line. There's lots of people in line now for their part in the enormous government bailout. Alex from Brooklyn, you're on WNYC.
Yes, hello. I just wanted to comment that I think we're looking at the wrong end of the problem. I think, first of all, we have to fix the corruption in the food distribution system and food stamps specifically, because I know there's a lot of people who actually require food stamps to go through the day. But on the other end, there is a lot of people that are abusing the system by collecting food stamps they don't even deserve. They work off the books. They portray themselves as poor people where they're not. And I know a lot of cases. I mean, it's ridiculous.
Thank you, Alex. Joel, what about his point about people who use and abuse the system? What's being done to prevent waste and abuse?
Well, a number of years ago, food stamps moved from being paper coupons to being electronic cards, and there was a dramatic reduction in fraud. The fraud that still exists is far more likely to be government employees who make up fake families or supermarkets who trade in these electronic benefits. But I got to tell Alex, if he sees families illegally using food stamps or illegally getting food stamps, it's my opinion that it is his duty as a citizen to turn them in and get them prosecuted. I hear a lot of wives' tales, a lot of urban myths about these massive numbers of people getting it, and the city engages in massive efforts to reduce fraud. And the truth is, in my experience, for every one person fraudulently getting food stamps, I can show you hundreds of thousands of people who are eligible for the program and not getting it because they're scared of being labeled crooks.
I know somebody who's eligible for food stamps. We recently had a conversation about this, and her argument is that she has learned how to make ends meet for herself. She gets routinely from the city messages saying, "Hey, you're eligible. Give us a call. Come sign up." And has even engaged in a conversation with a city employee on the phone about food stamps. And she says, "Give it to somebody who needs it more than I do. I've found a way to make it work for me." Is that part of the underlying reason why the roughly 700,000 people are eligible to receive food stamps in New York City, but they don't receive them?
That's certainly part of it. I tell the story in my book of someone panhandling outside my apartment in Brooklyn, who I gave information about pantries and kitchens and then strongly suggested he apply for food stamps. And he says, I couldn't apply for food stamps. And I go, "Why?" He goes, "My family would be ashamed." And I say, "You mean you're telling me you're asking your neighbors, not all of whom are wealthy, to help you with money, but your rich Uncle Sam?" you're not going to ask for money because you'd be ashamed. He goes, yes. That is a uniquely American problem where the public's been conned into thinking, number one, let the money runs out. These are entitlement programs. In the same way the money never runs out for Social Security, unfortunately, the money never runs out for certain corporate agribusiness, the money never runs out for food stamps, so you wouldn't be taking food away from someone who needs it more. And, you know, Donald Trump and every billionaire gets help from the government every day, from government-supported tap water to government heliports. They ride their helicopters over. I make the point that if they're not embarrassed to get government help, and they shouldn't be, low-income people who pay taxes, who don't earn enough to feed their families, shouldn't be embarrassed to get food stamps.
Noah from Brooklyn, you're on WNYC. Good morning.
Thanks for taking my call. So you were talking before about sort of the role that charity has taken on in this country in replacing what the federal government should be responsible for. And I think that extends far beyond just food access in this country. Do you think the economic crisis and the incoming Obama administration will shift the country back towards a more acceptable balance between the two, where we're not relying on charity as much? Or do you think that this notion is so ingrained that giving is so important that it will be hard for people to accept, as sort of you were just talking about, the ways that government can stand in and be responsible for the people in this country?
Noah, thank you so much for your call. Joel Berg, what have you heard from the Barack Obama, the fledgling Barack Obama administration, about what his approach may be to dealing with hunger?
Well, some very positive things. It wasn't covered in much of the media, but a number of weeks before the election, then-candidate Obama issued a fairly detailed plan with a pledge to end child hunger in America by the year 2015. He would actually will be the first president in U.S. history to have grown up in a family that received food stamps. So I think he gets it, and I think the political pendulum is swinging back a bit. You know, one analogy I make is I, as a New Yorker, and people across the country who have neighborhood crime watches, neighborhood crime patrols, where you have the stickers in your window if you see something, you call someone. That's wonderful, but none of us for a second would trade that for having a professional police force defending us. And so people understand when it comes to something that affects them and middle-class people and upper-class people like policing, we need professionals and we need government. We need to send that message that for low-income people that's important as well. It doesn't mean that organizations like mine, the New York City Coalition Against Hunger, don't need donations, don't need other help, but it means we should go back to filling in the gaps as opposed to what's happened over the last, you know, few decades is where we're expected to really take the full brunt of what government's doing.
Joel, where can people go if they want to help out?
They can go to our website, www.nyccah.org, for New York City Coalition Against Hunger.
And we have a link to your website on our website, wnyc.org. I know you've got a Hunger Maps project where you can type in your zip code and that pops up soup kitchens around your neighborhood. Can people call those numbers and either and volunteer or offer to supply food?
They absolutely. Most agencies prefer cashless food because they can buy wholesale and get a lot more food than you can by bringing in a can. Also from our website, you can find out how you can volunteer. And we're really urging people not just to volunteer around the holidays with manual tasks, but if you're an accountant, if you're a web designer, if you're a PR person, these agencies really need your professional skills over the long term. And we also have information on our website about how you can contact our elected officials, because we're pretty consistent with the message. You know, we need your charitable help, we need your donations, we need you volunteering, but we really need you to tell our elected officials that government must take the lead in solving this problem.
Joel Berg is the executive director of the New York City Coalition Against Hunger. He's also the author of the new book, All You Can Eat, How Hungry Is America. Thank you so much, Joel.
Thank you so much, Amy.
Amy Eddings, sitting in for Brian Lehrer here on WNYC. Coming up next, deflation is the opposite of inflation. So why is it bad? Stay tuned.